Good morning. Let me get situated here a little bit. My name is Tad Endo. Those of you who are expecting Pastor Jack to be here, he's on a sabbatical. So some of us get to talk to you instead a couple of times during when he's gone. Today's my turn. We are continuing the Book of Psalm. 2 weeks ago, Elder George spoke from Psalm 1, Growing Christ Through Scripture. And then last week, Pastor Choi talked about growing in Christ through prayer with Psalm 86. Today, we're starting to growing in Christ through meditation. Before I start, let me just pray, okay? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning and thank you that giving us this passage that we can study. And I pray that I'll be able to speak your mind, your word to congregation that we'll understand what the meditation is. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. So meditation, according to Wikipedia, it means a practice where an individual focuses their mind on a particular object, thought, or activity to achieve a mentally clear and emotionally calm state. Or meditation may help to reduce stress, anxiety, depression, and pain. Last week, if you remember, Pastor Choi talked about a need to unhurry or slow down. Remember that one? So meditation certainly relates to that too. At about 3 weeks ago, a group of us, the friends of us, were talking about this topic, and one of my friends said, yeah, Tad, it's easy. Just tell people to go meditate for 20 minutes and come back and pray. that doesn't work. Although the next 20 minutes or so, some of you may be meditating or daydreaming, which is okay. I don't mind. In a Fortune magazine in 2015, there's an article that says 7 ways meditation can change the brain. The one is that meditation helps preserve the aging brain. Some you perked up. A study from UCLA found that long-term meditators had better preserved brains than non-meditators as they aged. All right? That's good news. Second one is a meditation reduces activity in the brain's me center. This is the study by Yale University. The mindfulness meditation decreases activity in the default mode network responsible for mind wandering and self-referential thoughts, also known as a monkey mind. The third one is help cope with the depression and anxiety. A review at the Johns Hopkins looked at the relationship between mindfulness meditation and its ability to reduce symptoms of depression, anxiety, and pain. Meditation isn't the magic bullet for depression, as no treatment is, but it's one of the tools that may help manage symptoms. And meditation may lead to volume change in the key areas of the brain. This is a mouthful, but this is the Harvard University study. Find that the mindfulness meditation can actually change the structure of the brain. 8 weeks of mindfulness-based stress reduction was found to increase the area in the brain that governs learning and memory. And also it decreases the brain cell volume in the area responsible for fear, anxiety, and stress. And the follow-up study found that the change in brain linked to a mood and things like that, improvement in the mood. And then another one is training improves concentration and attention. Having problems concentrating isn't just a young people thing. We all go through this. One of the central benefits of meditation is that it improves attention and concentration. A couple of weeks of meditation training help people's focus and memory. In fact, quantitatively, they said the score was 16th percentile, which is quite a bit. And the next one is the anxiety and social anxiety that I mentioned before. This is the study by Stanford University that the stress reduction in reducing anxiety has also been shown to help people with the practice meditation. And lastly, the meditation can help with addiction. A number of studies have shown that given its effects on the self-control region of the brain, meditation can be very effective in helping people recover from various types of addiction, such as smoking. In addition, there's one more thing that I saw this, is that short meditation breaks can help kids in school, okay? This is actually, the kids go through a lot of stress and stressful relationship, stress-related thing. And the one district in San Francisco started a twice-daily meditation program in some of its high-risk schools, and they found that suspension decreases in GPAs and attendance increase. So, hey, there's a benefit. This is a picture of a Buddhist monk, I guess, the kind of a meditating. What does Zen Buddhism try to aim? Does anyone know? Their meditation is try to empty the mind. You think to think nothing. When I was in high school, one day a group of us started discussing Zen meditation. So we were trying to think nothing. The way to achieve that we were told to think and think and think hard until you have nothing to think. So we group of us sitting down and closing our eyes and, okay, let's do it, right? And a few minutes later, one by one, we opened our eyes and looked at each other and just busted out laughing. It didn't work to us. It's much harder than you think to think nothing. I don't know if you remember several years ago in the Seinfeld, well, there was one episode. They were trying to sell their idea to a New York TV station about the guys living in New York. Then they were saying, yeah, you know, it's about, and then Cyprus, yeah, it's about nothing. So that's nothing. But Christian meditation, on the other hand, is a lot more practical. The word meditation comes from the Latin word meditare, which means to concentrate. The Christian meditation aims to fill the mind with thoughts related to biblical passage, aim to heighten the personal relationship based on the love of God, process of deliberately focusing on specific thought and reflecting on their meaning in the context of love of God, and to seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. With that in mind, let's look at the Psalm 19, which is written by David. He writes in praise and prayer. I divided this to three sections. The first one is the Psalm 19, 1 to 6, glory of God, and 7 to 10, the law of the land, and 11 to 14, the prayer to the Lord. So I'd like us to read this passage. I like what the Pastor Choi did last week, the separate the man and the woman to read. So I'm going to ask you to read 1 through 3 by men and 4 to 6 by ladies, okay? Let's read verse 1. the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. So here, all things are telling glory of God, and it's proclaiming his wisdom and power. He created day, light, and darkness. There's no speech or language, yet the voice is heard. There are no men anywhere on earth, regardless of what language they use, who are beyond the reach of what the heavens are saying to all men. So up here, the principle that I had is the word of God reaches everywhere. No matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter where you are, the word of God reaches. And the question here is, am I praising him of the creator of the earth or everything in it? Am I praising God all the time? In what ways can we praise God for who he is? And second is, how can we hear him more intimately? It says the voice is heard. It's coming through. It's us. Sometimes don't hear it or pretend not to understand. So you have to see how you can understand God's voice, because he's speaking to you personally. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." The glory and power and divinity of God are clearly taught by the creation itself. And Paul declared that men are without excuse who refuse to see the power and divinity of God, which is continually being shouted in the ears by the whole glorious Creator. So let's go to the next section, verse 7 through 10. Why don't men read 7 and 8 and the ladies 9 and 10, okay? Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statute of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." So the law, the doctrine revealed by God is perfect. The Lord is trustworthy. The commandments of the Lord are pure, holy, just, and good. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are more precious than gold, sweeter than the honey. So this section, The principle of that this section is, the word of God is better than anything. It is the best. And an application is, how can we follow God's law more deeply? Am I following his law? Do I understand them? Those are the questions. In what area are we compromising God's law with our cultural ways? Because everyday life, there are things that people do, we do, happen, that may be contrary to what the God's law is. So how do you value God's law and not following that? It is more important to follow the people and the culture? Think about it. The third section, 11 through 14, why don't we go... Okay, 11 to 12 men and 13 to 14 ladies. Okay, verse 11. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive me hidden fault. So we are warned not to turn from God's way, and there is a reward in keeping God's commandments. David, the writer, desires to be pardoned and cleansed from sins. The humble prayer that we may fall of sins unless restrained by grace of God. So the principle for this part is the word of God in my mouth. As we sang earlier, Psalm 19 had the same the passage from this part. And the application is that, how and when do I hear God's warning? Do we hear them, or am I ignoring? It is easy to ignore or pretend we didn't hear, but if it's the back of your mind, and that's when the Holy Spirit is prompting you. You have to listen. You have to see, oh, is this right, what I'm doing? Is that what God is telling me? Oftentimes I forget when I'm driving, but you have to hear what God is telling you. Bible mentions meditation and the word meditate 23 times, and 19 times in the book of Psalms. I didn't count it. Somebody did. So the word meditation happens quite a bit, especially in the Psalm. But there's a one in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. In Psalm 48, verse 9, within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. In Psalm 119, verse 27, let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. Psalm 145, verse 5, they will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. And when earnest meditation begins, the Holy Spirit enters the soul of the meditator and shows the path towards the better understanding of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So through meditation, you try to have more and deeper understanding of God. And meditation is also a form of a prayer in which a structured attempt is made to become aware of and reflect upon the revelation of God. Christian meditation involves looking back on Jesus' life. And there's the prayer. There are different forms and different ways of prayer. I'm just giving you just one. It's called ACTS. It stands for A for Adoration, praising God for who He is. So, well, when you pray, you go through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. The number one, you started out with adoration, is praising him for who he is. Praise God that, you know, he created the earth. Praise God, today we were able to come to church. Because all God is giving us. And number two is confession. And confess sin and ask for forgiveness. God has given us this life, and now you admit that you made a mistake, you confess sins, and ask for forgiveness. And number three is thanksgiving. Thank God for what he has done to you, to the world, to your daily life. I mean, I wake up in the morning, and I thank God I wake up. It's a simple thing, but it is true that you don't wake up if God doesn't allow you. In fact, this morning, my alarm didn't go off. But I woke up before that and watching the clock, I said, how come the alarm doesn't go? So, hey, thank God. And number four, supplication, petition to God. We ask. Oftentimes we think the prayer means you're asking God for something. But yeah, it is. But there are a lot of things involved in a prayer. And you want to know more about prayer, come to the Sunday school today. Right after the service, David Howe will be teaching about prayer. So there you have it. So in order to get more understanding of God and to hear his voice, we meditate. Not the phone, but meditate. So when we meditate, grounded in the Bible, praising God for who he is, confess our sins, respond to the love of God, and thanking God for what he has done. Ask Holy Spirit to help you to understand God better. And it doesn't happen overnight, I admit that. The more you practice, more sophisticated meditation can become. Learn to hear interior voice, the voice of God, through meditation. Instead of praying, I'm just going to read the last part of Psalm 19, 11 to 14. If you could just read with me. Verse 11. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from unfilled wounds. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Thank you.
As we think on that message and how it applies to us, we move into a time of reflection and meditation and also a celebration of Holy Communion.